is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and good news. Hello and good news. Hello and good news. I'm your host, Hannah Canningator. This is the podcast where I sit down with a guest and I tell them all about the people, places, and current events that are affecting the world in a freaking positive way. This week's episode features brother and sister dynamic duo May and Willie Ratz, two of my closest and oldest friends and also two of the raddest people I know. May is an artist, a photographer, and a conversation and experience engineer. That means she will ask you all of the best questions and take you on the greatest adventures. Willie is also a photographer, a dope mountain biker, a fellow adventurer, and perhaps soon-to-be helicopter pilot? See what I mean? Dynamic freaking duo. So it's a good episode. Let's dive into it. Hey, if you like Amazon and shopping on it, why don't you go ahead and use my link? You can go to boardwalkaudio.com/hello and good news. Click the support our artist button. That'll swim you right on over to Amazon and you can shop around like you normally would. Hello and Good News gets a little bit of kickback in our pockets and you get a little peace of mind that you did something nice. What else? Hey, if you like the podcast, oh my gosh, please rate and review it on iTunes. It gets me out there in search results a little more so that more people can hear some good news and less bad news, which is the whole goal of the whole thing. One last little thing, quick disclaimer, that sound you might hear that resembles a ghost crashing a submarine, that comes in and out for about the first 20 minutes and then should fade out. My microphones had a rough time traveling to Wyoming, but that won't take place in any other future episodes, so thanks for being patient. Thanks for listening. All right, let's stop wasting time. Stop talking, Hannah. Get on to that good news, why don't ya?
Good news. Good news. Hello. Good news. I think it's time we had some frickin' real good news.
We'll just go into it like so naturally.
Good.
If there's one thing I'm great at, it's starting. Hello and good news, everybody. Hello, guys. I'm here with May and Willie.
Hey.
Hello.
We're not on my big red couch this week. We're at May Ratz's kitchen table. It's brown. It's long. What other features can I point out about it? There's plants. There you guys go. You get it. It's a kitchen table. And it's quite peaceful, too. Also, we've got our audience member, Annalisa Purdom, standing by.
Hey,
let's talk about, are you guys ready to hear some good news?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay, great. We'll start out with a little story about sidewalk chalk. So I guess there's a big sidewalk chalk festival. It's usually in Italy. It's called the Italian Street Painting Festival. And it was held, they held the first one in the United States in Santa Barbara, California. I'm going to have to show you guys photos.
Wait, so it's from Italy?
Yeah, started in Italy. Big sidewalk painting festival. And so I guess the deal is like, basically what it looks like is a giant street with huge squares filled with sidewalk art. It's as one would imagine. Yeah. And the deal is you have to like pay for a square. A lot of businesses will buy a square and then hire an artist to like do a very cool thing and also advertise their business. And all of the proceeds from all of it go to like local arts education and programs, which is really cool. It's inspired by its sister festival. Yeah. Boop, 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 bop, skitty, doo, 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 jazz. It's inspired by its sister festival, Grazzi di Curtatone.
Nailed it.
I always do a great job with those.
Italian.
Yeah. I'm part Italian too, so that's sad. I only know how to say my own Italian name.
What is
Amel Nadi. Wow. I made handmade pizza last night. I was just like an American at home. So yeah, so this festival, it benefits the Children's Creative Project, which is a nonprofit arts education program in Santa Barbara. Also, this happened over Memorial Day. I live very close to Santa Barbara.
How'd you miss it?
I don't know. I'm like a slow good newser. Like, I always find out about them a couple weeks later.
Okay, you have a whole year until the next one.
That's true.
So you're good. You're
just maybe I'll go take photos next time. But the Children's Creative Project serves 50,000 children in more than 100 schools. And they do like visual and performing arts and workshops and stuff, which is very cool. I guess the festival started because street painters are called Imaginari. Nailed it again. I know it. Because they historically recreated images of the Madonna. And so they're called that.
Fun
history buff over here. I thought that was a good little one to start with. I feel like arts in schools is so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
I also feel like it's such an important way. Like, you have to encourage kids at all levels to express themselves. Otherwise, they bury that shit down. They never talk about it.
Become little monsters.
Yeah, who knows what happens later.
Big monsters. Yeah.
Big monsters, maybe.
Large.
Or maybe just regular people who don't know how to talk about their feelings.
Monsters. Monster people.
Yeah, but either way, we really need it. It's used, like, art therapy is such a real thing. And it makes me so sad that... that they're trying to freaking cut funding and all that.
It is really serious.
Yeah.
I'm reading this book called The Body Keeps the Score, and it's about how the body deals with trauma that you experience as an adult and as a child. And one of the things that they're talking about is how if you experience trauma as an adult, you have a really hard time if you don't have the vocabulary or the, like, the experience or the empathy really built up to deal with it, then you end up only being able to say how, like, what happened to you,
yeah,
not how it actually feels to you, which are two totally different ways to process.
Yeah.
And one is less important, really, because, like, the facts of what happened to you are important, but actually how it's happening to you and happened to you and how you feel about it are more important. So I think I'm totally with you. I think that it's not in the book, but I mean, I don't know, I'm only on page 45, but it might be later. But I think that there's, like, a correlation between being able to deal with art and deal with trauma in your life and deal with feelings and things like that, and take a critique and give a critique and things like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it all connects into, like, processing, like, making the connections between your own emotions and your everyday life, like in the real world. I feel like creativity really merges those two things, where you're able to all of a sudden express things that you usually cannot express because it's very abstract, I guess. And, like, it just teaches all creative things, I feel like, teach you to be able to communicate that better. So when shit happens to you, you can talk about it, or at least get it out of your own head, which is huge. I've talked about this a ton in the past, but they use art therapy programs in juvenile delinquent places and in prisons. Like, there's a couple places that have started doing it, but especially with young kids who are coming out of the system, like, back into the real world, or who are in juvenile delinquent places, just to be like, hey, your feelings matter. You matter. Like, you have a space to speak, and, like, just to help them reintegrate and, like, feel like a person. Because I talk about this all the time, but I feel like that gets stripped away from people who end up in the system and in the prison system.
Yeah, and art is looked at as, like, such a luxurious thing.
Yeah.
Like, going to art school is, like, a very luxurious place to go. Like, making art is, like, something that people do as a hobby. An artist is looked at as not quite a lucrative thing yet.
Yeah.
You know, and it's 2017. Like, being an artist is a lucrative thing.
Yeah. But,
that is not looked at yet as, like, a real job.
It's
like, art is looked at something that you do when you have time to do that after your job.
Yeah.
But it is such an important way to handle the world, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, just communicate with each other. Like, Will and I shoot pictures together, and they're, like, completely different images, but we're experiencing this similar things.
Yeah.
You know?
And you get to see how the other person sees the world.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And that creates empathy and understanding. God, I could go on about this forever.
Me too. Different podcast. Different podcast, different time.
I just think it's cool too when like a big festival, art festival is held and then all the profits go towards like just like a circle of, God, why can't I use
quick
my words?
Plug for somebody that is in our audience, actually. She knows somebody really well, might kiss on the face someone who is a phenomenal painter. Chris Hampton is a phenomenal artist.
Yes, he is. I have one of his paintings in my bathroom.
In my bathroom.
Yours is in your bathroom too.
I was in there twice today. What do you mean?
I got too distracted by how great that sink is every time I go in there. May's bathroom has a great sink, you guys. But I always feel like bad saying like, oh, their art is in my bathroom, but it really is the place that makes the most sense color. Like it fits perfectly. It's a little painting of the red desert, and my bathroom is red. So yeah, you have to go in there. Yeah, it's great. Chris Hampton. I'll freaking put him in the hyperlinks, you guys. Look at the descriptions. By the way, I have go to boardwalkaudio.com and any story I have hyperlinks to if you want to see like where the frick are her sources from. You can click on them and you can go look at all the pictures of these chalk paintings. Okay. Let's move on to the next story. This one's kind of crazy. You guys.
We're ready.
Not that crazy. It's actually really good news, but it's about a dude who, so there's been like a big movement of people who were former neo-Nazis and they've like renounced their extremism and now they work with programs to like, to try and stop it from continuing. And this one guy in particular, his name is Nigel Bromage. And
his real name?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bromage?
Bromage. Yeah, he's the co-founder. He's like 50 years old now. He's like left. He was in a far right group, far right extremism, and he left it. And he started this program called Exit UK, which is an independent organization that helps people leave those types of things. And he also, like, I found another article about him. He works with teachers in particular because he was talking about, because he talks about, like, being a young kid and not knowing what to believe in and basically just getting roped into it and being so far into it before he knew what happened. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden being like, there's so much, like, just not even understanding how he got there and then realizing where he was and realizing he was uncomfortable with it. And then it's still taking him a while to get out. So they like pray. He just talks about a little bit like that. I mean, I guess it's like anything else that you get roped into, like a cult or a gang or whatever. They prey on you being like, I just want a place to belong. I want something to believe in. And they preach it to you in like a great way. And then they slowly rope you in and then, so he works also with a program to like educate teachers and to promote more teaching in classroom about like basically independent thought and don't join a fascist group type of stuff. But I think that's really good news. That's like the best news to see an example of somebody who can completely change and then try to like to help the cause that got him there in the first place.
Does he talk about like what changed for him? Like why did
he like what he mentions is I think the violence, like he got roped in with like political ideas and honestly like I think it getting preached to him as like a way to make the world a better place. And it's starting little by little. And then basically being taught, like, the world is so far gone, the only way to overcome it is through physical force. And then being witness to, like, crazy violent stuff. Mm-hmm. And being like, I can't, this is not. That put him realizing, like, I don't know. And he also, he, like, gave up his whole marriage for the far right. Like, his wife was uncomfortable with it. And he was basically in a neo-Nazi group, and he had a very, like, us or them attitude, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he, like, left his marriage for the group. And then at some point, I mean, he's 50 now, so I don't... And he got roped in, I think his parents, like, died when he was 15 or something like that. And he got roped in shortly after that, in the 80s, I think. And... So now he's 50, and so it took a while. But again, like, proof, I don't know. I feel like you're always, sometimes you're like, oh, can people ever change when they get older? And I feel like this is proof. You for sure can. Yeah. He also, like, leaving was a scary, scary thing, I guess. He got a bomb sent to him.
Whoa, he, like, they sent people, those in the mail?
Yeah, like, the police found it. They were like, there's a bomb.
Send anything, right? Like a watermelon.
Yeah. A watermelon? That's a high shipping cost right there. Yeah.
They have person size ones.
It's in that flat rate box you're getting.
Very good. Yeah. That's oh, that's true.
Yeah. We're all getting blacklisted.
You can't say the word bomb.
Oh, God.
Not on a public podcast. There's people listening.
So hold on. You can just mail a bomb to someone?
Well,
like that's wrong.
I would say it is wrong.
I trust your facts. I'm just saying that I like. That's not polite.
I mean, do they check it? They ask you that question, like, do you have any hazardous material or explosives? And I guess if you're like, nope.
They trust you.
They're like, cool beans. Feels like a watermelon. Pass it in the thing.
When, like, yeah, in customs, when you, like, come through customs, they're like, do you have any mangoes? And you're like, nope.
No.
And they're like, bye.
Bye, bye.
Yeah. So it's like that, I guess.
I guess so. Hey, don't get any ideas, you guys.
One small lie becomes a bomb in the mail.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess he said the police, like, I don't know. The police were like, hey, dude, these people tried to bomb you. crazy story, though. Right?
I mean, yeah, it makes me think about everything that you hear as a kid, that you take in as a kid, and then you decide is true.
Yes.
Like... And then you never bother to question. Mm-hmm. You never source out other people that are thinking of other things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what did you figure out something later on in life that you really thought was true?
Example of
it. I know. I'm trying to think of one for myself. So hold on.
The only example I could think of is legitimately Santa Claus. Like, that's just right where my brain went. I believed in Santa Claus for, like, way too long. I know.
Okay. Let's pause this podcast about very serious, happy things for a second. Explain that I told Hannah that Santa Claus wasn't real when we were four.
And I was like, oh,
and she
poor
told
May.
Me no.
Yeah, I legitimately was like, poor May. She just doesn't get it. Like, I thought she didn't understand the rules of
She's
Christmas.
Gone to the dark side. And I was like, that's not real. Everyone in our lives is lying to us.
Yeah. See, perfect example. It did not. I believed in Santa Claus so hard that, like, it didn't even faze me that you were like, everyone's lying and he's not real. I was like, okay, I think you just don't understand how the presents work. Like, it is from Santa Claus. I believed that until sixth grade, which is way too long, you guys. That's way too long to believe in Santa. And even then, people were like, man, I'm pretty sure Santa Claus is my parents, like, talking about it in art class. And I was like, bummer for them. Too long.
Non-believers. What changed? What changed for you?
What changed? I feel like my mom started to also... Yeah, it was the violence. I was like, I was comfortable about this at first. The amount of elf labor that goes into this unpaid, I can't support anymore.
Terrible industry. Terrible.
Mrs. Claus does not get the recognition that she should.
Dude, so true.
Yeah. She makes so much food. You think she's feeding the elves too? I'm still talking about him as if he's a real thing. I think what changed for me was my mom, I think, also was like, man, this is too long. And so they got really lazy one year. Like, I think it was their way of being like, please figure it out. Like, they just wrapped everything in the same wrapping paper. Like, the presents from my dad and mom and the presents from Santa were all in the same wrapping paper.
Seriously? That's how you figured it out?
Well, I was already like, I was like, oh, those kids at
Girl,
school.
Girl, you were 12. I had to tell you seriously 8 years ago.
You know, you get a belief in your head.
start unraveling it in your head. Like, yeah. Wait a second.
Hold on.
Beautiful mind situation.
Yeah. My room is just a whiteboard with equations everywhere. He's not real. He's not real. All back to the wrapping paper with a big circle written around it. I mean, in my defense, my parents also went all out for a while to like make it magical. Like they would put footprints outside. My dad would have entire conversations downstairs, like as himself talking to Santa Claus. Like
what?
Yeah.
That's not also the story of Santa Claus. No one's supposed to see him.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't. It was like, Kids aren't allowed to see him. Oh. Do you want me to explain the rules to you again?
Did he eat stuff?
Yeah, I would leave out cookies. Okay. And then I would be upstairs in my parents' room. And then my dad would pretend to be Santa coming into the house, like make a lot of big like, ha, 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 bah, 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 like lots of noise. And then my dad would be like, oh, hi, Santa, in his normal voice. And then he would switch back to, oh, hi, John, how's it going this year? And he's like, really good. Hannah's been a pretty good girl. Oh, has she? Like this would go on. Of course I believed in Santa. So this is what happens.
Hold on. Wait a second. Why didn't you believe in like stranger danger?
I still don't believe in stranger danger. It's a bad deal. I will talk to strangers. I talk to strangers on the street. Like, I'll just get roped into a conversation.
Dude, this is why Santa is a terrible idea. Look what it has built.
But I guess so the example we're giving here is like, you can change. You can change.
It's not true.
I can change.
It's okay. Just imagine what we will go through by the time we're 50. Truth-wise.
Oh, man.
I know.
I don't know if it gets bigger than sand. Willie, when did you...
No.
No Santas. Because
no
you were... Because are you 4 years yet? No, you're two.
Four years younger.
So guess who told him that Santa was...
Yeah, the second he came out of the womb, you were like, Santa's...
They're lying. They're dirty liars out here. To wrap that up, because neo-Nazis and Santa are not at the same... serious level
for everyone's life. That's true.
And that is a scary thing to like realize or start to think that like a belief that you've held so close is not true
and is like, bad
and to like change instead of digging your heels in and, like, lashing out at the people who are telling you otherwise.
I feel like actually that is part of what happens now that I think about it. Like some people probably just get so like, maybe it's like people who are really homophobic but and who are actually homosexual, like that weird thing where you're like so afraid of the truth that you just start to be crazier. But I feel like maybe some people in those types of organizations don't fully believe, but they're like, I've come too far. Like I gotta double down.
Yeah.
Okay, hi, we're back. I don't remember where we just were, but I had to fix that. We had to pause. And don't worry if you were feeling sad by that crazy submarine sound. It's a ghost now. Okay. So we just wrapped up neo-Nazi reforming. Any other tidbits anyone wants to say about that?
I think I'm good on the neo-Nazis.
We're all good? Yeah. Great. I think so too. I'm glad about it.
Yeah.
I hope more of those guys stop being who they are. Here's my hope for the world.
Please.
I hope that everyone can change and be empathetic of other points of views and listen to each other and change for the better.
Yeah.
That's all I freaking ask.
Be kind and curious.
Yeah.
Just be kind and curious.
That could be on a t-shirt.
Kind and curious?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like my, After being on a cruise ship for 28 days with a whole bunch of people over the age of 70, that is my new life motto.
Be kind and curious.
That's true.
Yeah. Beautiful. You guys, a police officer just adopted a baby.
A baby what? Or a baby?
A baby elephant. No, a human who was...
Really, really did adopt a baby human?
It's a child human. Fully developed child.
Go on.
So this police officer he showed up at work and there was a call for like basic like domestic abuse. pretty much. And so they went to go check it out, and there was like a bad child abuse situation. It sounded like, from the article I read, seemed like a child called it kind of thing.
Whoa, in a cage, only eating dog food?
Yeah, like that, like tied up and like hung from, yeah.
What?
P.S. I don't know if he was hung from his feet. I started to say they tied him up and hung him upside down from his feet, but like, I also don't think that's a fact.
The good news part.
Yeah.
Help us out here. Oh, okay. They found out he was bound by his hands and feet with rope and had been submerged into a trash can held in the shower. So they like, yeah.
It's just every day.
That, yeah. It's like a child. P.S. Why did we all read that book? A Child Called It. Did you read it, Willie?
I didn't read it.
Willie's smarter than us in a lot of different reasons, but
what was it?
Scarring things.
Yeah. What was it about our childhood that, like, why was everyone reading that book? We were way too young to be reading that. Just, I feel like
explaining to us our privilege. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're not going through a hard thing. You're
yeah, all our parents being like, yeah.
No. It's true though.
All our parents being like, see, we're good parents. But so this cop like saw what was going on and immediately adopted him, basically.
Wait, but that's not how the rules of adoption work.
Well. Yeah, as fast as possible. He wasn't like, whoops. He wasn't like, you're coming home with me, Tiny Tim. Like,
so the good news is that this kid no longer has to do that.
Yeah,
How old is this kid?
I think he's 8. Yeah, he's 8 years old.
Whoa.
He said like the moment he arrived at the doorstep, he was like, I am taking this kid home. So, I mean, I'm sure first they took him to the hospital. He was put in intensive care. And then this police officer, like, went to the hospital every day to make sure he was okay. And then, I don't know, I'm assuming they probably, like, started to put him into foster home. And then this police officer and his wife were like, we're gonna adopt this kid, though, instead.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They also adopted... Okay, so while going through the process of adoption with John is the little kid's name, they found out that his biological crazy mom who was in jail gave birth to a baby in jail, and they adopted that baby too.
Goodness. You're his really... wife, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, and it's Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
You really held out on that last bit. I mean, like, that is a nice... You started it off with being like, they adopted one kid.
Podcasts are all about storytelling, so, you know, I'm really trying to bring those elements in.
You're doing great.
I probably would not adopt a kid. I would like to think that I would.
Serious talk.
I'm just trying to think about where my personal experience, like, how can I relate to this? And I don't know. I guess I don't have a lot of input except to say that these people are great people. Kids are a lot.
Wait, hold on. So you wouldn't adopt a kid? Or a kid that was submerged in a bathtub?
No, you know what? Maybe if I saw those kids, I would be like, I'll take you home. I just feel like I'm probably not ready to be a parent.
That's all right.
Thank you. Yeah. Good job for those guys, though. Also, I guess if you are like in that place in your life, they probably were like thinking about having kids anyway.
I don't know. Yeah.
Really great, though. I feel like my favorite kinds of stories are the little random ones from towns where people just do something really great. And they're like, yeah, these kids really needed help and I wanted kids. And so now I'm their dad.
It's a bummer that I think you're going to be a great mom if you decide to have kids.
Oh, thank you.
Shows up in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You will be too.
Thanks.
So will you, Willie.
Thanks.
Here's another story about some people just being nice. There's this 20-year-old dude who was walking. His name is Justin, and he works at a fast food place. He works at Taco Casa in Rockwell, Texas, and he was walking to work. and it was 95 degrees out, and this dude, Andy, like, pulled over and was like, do you need a ride? He looks like you're going to work. And he was like, yeah, for sure. And he like, during the ride, he was like, oh, I don't have a car. I walk 3 miles to and from work every day. Wow. In Texas? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
God, I cannot handle humidity.
Humid in Texas?
Yeah, it's so humid. It's like that southern, it's yeah, really hot and stuffy and humid.
Ugh.
That's the worst. But he said that once I have enough money saved up, I'll probably buy a car. And so this guy, he made like a post about it on social media, and then it got shared a ton. And then he decided that a few people were like, well, let's raise some money for him to get a car. And so this guy who owns a pizza joint, Sammy, oh, I can't, the last name is hard. Sammy Dalatshahi.
Yep.
Sounds, whoop, nailed it. He's the owner of Sammy's Pizza, Getty Italian Bistro and Lounge. That's a mouthful. He offered to put a donation box out at his restaurant, and in 2 days they raised $5,500.
Whoa.
And then the general sales manager at the local Toyota dealership, he like spoke to the manager there, and the dealership offered to like slash the price way down on a 2004 Camry.
$5,500?
Yeah. And then they bought the car for him, and he showed up, this guy who picked him up that one day showed up at the restaurant when he was getting off work, and he was like, a ton of people wanted to help you, and now you have a car.
What? I mean, like, what do you do if you're that person?
I feel like...
It's Justin, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's Justin's reaction after you just worked an entire day, you're getting ready for a 3-mile hike in the humidity, and then somebody delivers you your very own car?
Yeah. You'd be like, I mean, so happy. And also, like, what the crap? In my head, too, this all happens in the same day. I know they said it took, like, several days to raise money, but in my head, it's, like, very funny to think about him being like, yeah, I just am really trying to get a car, and, like, getting dropped off at work and then walking out. And yeah. This guy being like, dude, car!
Just on his vision board. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Justin instantly believes in manifestation.
Yeah.
He's like, sometimes we say stuff, it happens.
Yeah, say stuff out loud. Wow, guys. For real, though. Like, say stuff out loud.
If you get in a car and say you need a car,
yeah,
you get a car.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's true.
It's that easy.
Wow. Good for Justin.
I know.
Does Justin know how to drive?
I think so. He's 20. He'll probably figure it out. Nobody has to learn stick shift anymore. Driving's pretty easy.
So that would be bummer. They're like, we got you his car.
Hope you can drive a manual. Like a giant van.
My ride situation.
Yes.
Full of fish tanks. I'm like, really impractical.
Oh my God.
How sad are we that that show doesn't exist anymore?
That show was great.
When did that stop? Early? I feel like it was...
Like 16-year-olds?
Yeah. I feel like it was around still when I was in high school, because I held out hope that the silver bullet my car in high school would get pimped.
It was pimped.
It really was. It was a great car.
Still somewhere.
It is. It's a 1983 Subaru station wagon, and we still see it driving, like, bumping around Colorado.
One odd colored door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Silver.
Silver.
One silver door.
Yeah.
It also had some glued figurines on the top, on the dash.
Oh, yeah. I had all sorts of crazy stuff. I also had too many bumper stickers.
Is that a thing?
I as an adult, have no patience for bumper stickers anymore.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
You're like, why do I need to know? Unless it's something like I have on my Wyoming state flag on my car in California, which has been nothing but great, because every now and then somebody's like, did you go, like, I'm from Wyoming? And then we have a moment. But anything other than like a small logo,
yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Right. You know? Maybe like opinion bumper stickers.
You guys.
Yes.
Like, what is like the best case scenario? Like, somebody agrees with you and then they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But I've never had my mind changed.
Yeah, because they're all so they're always in like not Comic Sans, but what's that like aggressively cartoony, you know, like font where it's like, I have an opinion. That font.
Do you guys have like a bumper sticker you're like thinking of in your brain when you're saying this that you don't really like them? Like, what's the one that you're like,
oh, like any road rage?
Yeah, I was just thinking of like either give me coffee or get out of my way, like something like that. Like,
keep tailgating me, I'm reloading.
Yeah. And they're like the white circles. They're like the white circle ones with black writing, or just even the ones that are like, hey. Even the ones that are like, everybody love each other, okay? Like, I get irritated at those, too.
I heard something funny the other day that there were several people who were, like, trying to claim that they made the coexist bumper sticker.
Ah.
So, but they're all, like, trying to sue each other and they're, like, not talking to
each other. That's so great.
Hi, they're listening to your podcast.
Yeah. Coexist. You owe me $1 million. That's so funny. I love that.
It was against the whole.
Yeah. What are some other ones I dislike? There's so many in California. Baby on board. That one's the most pointless one out of all of them. I feel like there's lots of bits about that one already that exist. But, I mean, what is the point? There's people in the car. It's so not like everyone runs around doing bumper cars normally. And then you're like, oh, shit. Hey, Mark, slow down. There's a baby in there.
There's a smaller human in there.
It's true. Stealing someone's joke talking about that. I know that a stand-up does a version, some bit about that. But I've felt that way I think everybody feels that way.
Yeah.
Don't put it, that in the like, my kid's an honor student, you know?
It's true.
Like, I'm glad for you, but now I just think you're one of those crazy, annoying parents.
We all just form feelings about people before we even see them.
Yeah, that's why I don't like it. It's like, hey, judge this book by its cover, please. Invitation to do so. Like, if I got in an accident with somebody who had a baby on board sticker and a my kid's an honor student, I would be like, I'm fucked. Like, I can't. This is going to be hell going through this with you. That would be my thought.
You wouldn't think they were super empathetic and caring?
No.
Who cares about their kid?
No. They'd be like, this is your fault. What grades did you get? No, people are nice. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent. I just think if you're a nice person, like, take off your bumper stickers and you'll be even kinder. Well, now, guys, we're to small town news, but since we all live in the same town and we're all here right now, we all kind of know what's going on. So I decided to, I mean, I did find out that a brand new donut shop came to town.
Did you go see it?
I didn't go in today, but I saw that it's open till 5.
It's true.
Lander, we're all from Lander, Wyoming. And then the other big news that's in right now is our friend Oakley. It's in all the stuff. Oakley Boycott is like making a film here, bringing art to Wyoming. That's all good news. But I decided, so these guys just went on the most giant trip in the world. And so instead of small town news, I'm picking a positive story from one of the spots you went to.
Oh.
Yeah. So they both said, I was like, which place did you like a lot? And they both mentioned Penang. So I found a story about a guy who started the Peace and Harmony Home, which is a nonprofit nursing home in Jalan Thomas, which I think is nearby. Bukit Dumbar, and I'm confused by the way that the breakdown works in Malaysia, because when I Googled this, it's definitely in Malaysia, definitely near Penang. When I put in certain addresses, it was like, because you know how there's like Los Angeles, California, United States. Mm-hmm. This one was like four different ones. Yeah. It was like Jalan Thomas, Bukit Dumbar, Penang, Malaysia. So maybe it's a smaller neighborhood within. Yeah, it's nearby. It's nearby. But this Peace and Harmony Home started 8 years ago. This guy, Tan Sui Bon, he's a social worker who worked for, just worked around and like helped people out a lot. And this other guy, Song Do Reng, his father was like dying from cancer or suffering from cancer, and he was in the Penang hospital for 11 days. And Tan was one of the guys who showed up at the hospital and spent like he like really helped his dad so much the whole time. And like just, he just helps people a lot. And so after his father passed away, now Tan is this guy's like godfather. And he also, this was 3 years ago that his father passed away, but 8 years ago, Tan started, he just like made this goal of wanting to help elderly people, which is a big problem, especially in America, but I think everywhere in the world, that our elderly kind of get like pushed aside and they don't get taken care of at all. Mm-hmm. So he started a senior citizens home that can accommodate up to 100 residents.
Whoa.
And he does like most of the work by himself.
Wow.
Yeah. He just like takes care of everybody. He right now, he said it can hold up to 100, but he currently has 22 males and 6 female residents, the oldest being 92. Maybe I said this wrong. It might be that his goal is to be able to have 100 people there. And over 300 senior citizens have been referred there total. So he's like helped over 300 people already.
Wow.
Yeah. He wants to accommodate more people, but he's just held back by space and manpower right now because it's pretty much, like I said, it's pretty much just him taking care of all those people. And he currently has a wait list for 64.
Whoa.
More people.
Jeez.
Yeah. And he just, I know. And he just made a goal like 8 years ago. Like, I just want to help people. I just want to help elderly people.
That's awesome.
And he basically, yeah, it's like hospice/ senior citizen home. He does it all. He like helps shower and change diapers and feed and clean and all of it.
Wow.
So cool. And he's also
help him to support him.
There wasn't like any like GoFundMe links or anything about it, but it's called the Peace and Harmony Home.
Busy.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Cannot ask for help when you're doing all of the work.
When you're like already in it. Don't have time for social media. He's 53 years old too, and it's called the Peace and Harmony Home. I think I couldn't find a website, but I found a Facebook page for it. I'll post all that in the hyperlinks, because if I can find a place where people can donate, I will definitely post about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Or maybe when we go back, we should go visit.
Yeah, because they said they really wanted to go back. Yeah, you should go there. You should go to there. You're welcome to visit the center at any time or be a volunteer there. You can also drop off recycle items there, such as newspaper, plastic, aluminum cans, to support them. They take in the recycling for money. Soon they're going to have a vegetable farm at the center to support their daily operation cost.
Oh, I love that. What a magical place.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. We should go check it out.
Yeah. Also, did you know Malaysia has that Penang has a cat beach? Did you encounter this at all?
Cat beach?
This is a good segue into Animal Corner.
There's cats?
Yeah,
a beach for cats or a beach of cats?
Both. Both. It's a beach for cats. It's this lady from America.
What?
Yeah.
This is sounding.
I wasn't going to talk about this because I was like, cat beach, maybe I could use that for Animal Corner. But I saw, this is like the third article about this that I saw pop up.
Because
she's also, I don't think it's new, but they're looking for fundraising right now.
What? What?
So she's from Connecticut. She's a former English teacher who worked in China, Thailand, and Laos for about 10 years prior to her arrival in Malaysia. And she just, she like started a sanctuary on the beach, and there are 126 cats on the beach. And that's so many.
They just lay at the beach?
Yeah, they like, and then people go visit them.
What?
And she also tries to get people to adopt them. But
you can take one of the cats that you meet at the cat beach.
Yeah. I mean, what a great, you know, those days when you're like, man, I really want a cat today, but I don't know where to go.
If only there was a cat beach.
Head on down to the cat beach.
We did notice that Penang, and maybe Malaysia as a whole, is really into cats.
Really?
A bunch of like street art, and every other like piece it seemed was cat centric.
That's true.
Ah.
He's not lying.
We didn't see the beach.
Also, not that many cats.
I know.
They're all at the beach. Have you guys heard of that island? There's like an island off Australia that's like a cat island. What? Same sort of deal, like all the cats go just end up there.
Cats are crazy.
Cats are crazy.
Cats all talk to each other. An island of cats, a beach of cats.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about the beach that's or the island that's filled with pigs?
No, but I...
Tiny pigs.
Tiny ones?
Well, like, yeah. Yeah. Not like big ones. And they swim.
What?
Off of Cuba. Yeah, somewhere like that. I don't know. Somebody check the sources on that one. But
wait, a beach or an island?
It's an island, but it obviously has many beaches.
That's what I wish, like, the Bay of Pigs was actually.
Was, oh my God, how great would that be?
That'd be excellent.
Not true. Yeah. Yeah, you feel like you have it all figured out when you hear the name. And you're like, right. Never
yeah.
mind.
Yeah. Bay of Pigs, sure, I can imagine that. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
The cat beach is open from 11 to 6 p.m.
Closes?
Yeah, it closes. Sorry, guys. Cat beach is closed.
Cats just stay here?
I think the cats probably hang out. How great would it be, though, if the cats were like, all right, everybody ready to go home?
Close. And they, like, close
leave the beach.
Like, shut their umbrellas. Like, let's go.
Yeah. I picture like the movie The Aristocats,
totally.
Where they're like singing and dancing in the club.
The amount of cartoon things,
references
are,
I make
like, in your brain that go with your life is really amazing. Santa, in general.
Yeah, cartoon versions of Santa are better. Anyway, I might need to see a therapist. Like the more I talk about this out loud, like this seems like a real problem. Maybe. Well, Cat Beach gets us right into Animal Corner, which, man, have I got a patriotic one for you guys. Animal Corner. There was an injured bald eagle that was rescued in Washington, D.C. like yesterday.
How did it know to go to the Capitol?
I know. Like, freaking nation's bird at the nation's capital right before the Independence Day.
Dude. Smart bird.
Yeah.
The bird's like, this is my place.
Yeah.
My place is my day.
Yeah, he a report came in that an eagle was spotted in southeast DC, visibly injured. He was unable to fly and was having trouble breathing. So the Humane Rescue Alliance got him and got him to a vet hospital, and so far he's doing better.
He has to live.
He has to. Oh, gosh. Our nation will go into disarray if this bird, if something happens.
If our nation's symbol
of
dies
strength.
On 4th of July.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of 4th of July.
Mm-hmm. Bad omen.
Yeah, huge bad omen.
Whoa. How much pressure do you feel if you're in charge of that eagle?
Also, how funny would that be? Because I feel like if you're a vet in Washington, D.C., it's like you're a city vet, so you deal with mostly dogs and cats.
Yeah, this guy
doesn't have a kid. Yeah. Somebody walks in with a bald eagle.
Like,
and they're like, you need to fix this, Steven.
I don't know how. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Linda tutorials.
Yeah. Yeah.
How to save the most important bird in America. Oh, God. What happened to it? I mean, you can't just injure an eagle and get away with it.
I know. They don't know. There's no, they don't know what happened to it. No word on the street yet about how he was injured in the first place.
Whew. I hope he makes it.
Me too. My first thought, too, is like that some dumbass tried to
shoot it.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be okay, and so is our country.
The lesson to learn here is everything will be fine.
Yeah. Have hope, everyone. Well, now we're to the part where I get to ask you guys about some personal good news tidbits.
Oh, good. Willie can't wait to go first.
Again, this is one of those episodes where I threw this on my guests right before we recorded. So not a lot of prep time.
That's the best way to do it, actually.
I think the first thing that comes to my mind, probably because we just got back from a big trip, is kind of that feeling when you get back from a trip, especially to other cultures and other places in the world, where you just get this perspective on... You kind of like zoom out on your own life and on the world. And I think I was maybe stressing about some like decisions I needed to make and was about to make, and like going and seeing that all this other stuff is like happening around the world without me doing anything.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And then to come, it also, we were coming back to a tiny little town and this little like micro, like, cosm of all this like little like happenings and drama.
Yeah.
But it helps me kind of filter out the noise and like just think about the things that actually matter and hopefully make better decisions.
Yeah.
And be happier.
Like when you say seeing what's going on in the world, you mean like seeing good things going on in the world or seeing
just other
or crazy things happening or just like
people living and like
doing
their thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't know, that I had not thought about.
Yeah.
Before being there, obviously.
Yeah. I think I always think about, like, sometimes it freaks me out a little bit to think about how many other people there are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, when you think about the people that you know and like your different relationships and different levels of closeness with them. And then sometimes I'm like, and then I don't even know most of the rest of the world, which is just crazy. But it puts, it definitely puts things into perspective. Do you feel like I feel like when I have not traveled out of the country except for when I was like 16, but I feel like I came home realizing like, oh, I love where I live.
Mm-hmm. There's that too, for sure. Seeing the rest of the world, but then coming back to this place and feeling so like comfortable and having that community where you grew up and where you feel like you like really belong.
Yeah,
is definitely cool. That's like your like location home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where you like keep your things and your like, you're safest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's where all your things are. Yeah. Do you feel like there was a specific country at all where you looked at the way they did things and you were like, man, they have got it figured out?
I think I'm always jealous of people living in kind of tropical climates near the beach.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I live near the mountains.
Yeah.
I have like seasons, but that lifestyle and that kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
Way of that way of life is always very romantic to me.
Yeah, I feel that way even when I go to Venice Beach because I never go there. I'm so close to the beach, and then when I go down there, I'm like, man, people are chill down here. They've got it figured out. Yeah, no, I like that. I like. I feel like any time all of a sudden being able to step outside of yourself is like such a gift in a way that's hard to do. You have like have to be shaken up, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, there's all these other people in the world. My shit matters a little bit, but not that much. And they have their shit, and just that's what we were talking about before I took the break: the red pill and the blue pill.
Yeah,
get a little dose of the red pill, the little bit of that knowledge.
Wait, what's the blue pill?
The blue pill. So the red pill, and this is a reference like before the Matrix, but then they used it like in the Matrix. Of the red pill symbolizes knowledge and like, or awakening and like realization. And it can be painful at times, is the idea, like not always the easy pill to take, but that you come out at the other end with much more experience. The blue pill is like the easy way, which is like everything stays the same and you stay ignorant or blissful. You would rather be like ignorant and happy than. Oh. Yeah. And so in the Matrix, it's like a literal, like, do you want the red pill or the blue pill? The red pill, you leave the Matrix and you go to the real world. The blue pill, you stay in the Matrix and keep living your life. My grandpa always says, or would say, the hard way is the easy way. The easy way is the hard way. which I always try and remember, which is kind of basically that. Yeah. Like, take the harder road. If you're presented a path of, like, something that you should do, but it seems harder, like, do it. And it'll make things easier in the end than ignoring something or just sticking with what's comfortable.
Totally.
Yeah.
I believe in that.
I do, too. Absolutely. What's your personal tidbit?
From the trip, I learned how to
paint. Or anywhere. Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, you did.
And that, I think, is, like, the more that I think about it and look back on it now, because I've never been a dancer. I've been definitely an athlete my entire life, and I have always thought of my body as a tool. And if you ask me to swing a weight, if you ask me to lift a weight, I can do it. If you ask me to run a certain distance, I could probably do it. Like, my body has been built for function for a really long time, you know? But then on this trip, like, my grandparents are really avid ballroom dancers, and I just happened to have this opportunity to be able to learn how to ballroom dance. And I'm not that bad. I'm, like, pretty good.
That's so great. I'm
pretty good at ballroom dancing. And hi, thanks. And I think that's, like, I don't want to say that I, like, forgot that I could learn something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I forgot that you can learn something totally different
than
what you are used to, because there's so long that it's, like, I think probably, like Willie, I was, like, caught in this, like, mire of thinking about, stressing about the decisions that I needed to make and the things where it's like, oh, am I too late to make those decisions? Have I already passed the moment where I'm supposed to decide all those things?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got on this boat and it's like, do you want to learn how to cha-cha? And then I can cha-cha and I can samba and I can foxtrot and I can waltz. I have, like, 7 dances. I'm, like, pretty good.
That's so great.
I have nowhere to use it. and that's okay, because I knew that while I was learning it.
Yeah.
And I knew that while I was figuring out how to do this skill, and I have muscles that helped me figure out this skill, and I have the brain power now to, like, wrap my head around what I was doing.
Yeah.
Which then made me better at it, you know? So I've been thinking about what that means as far as, like, learning new things all the time, you know, like being the worst at something, being at the bottom, and then being like, but you get to figure it out. You get to learn it, which is so cool. And
I love
nowhere
that.
Else to go except for, like, to figure it out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
I love that.
And, like, being mediocre at something is, like, not the worst thing ever. It's really fun. Like, if a cha-cha comes on the radio now, I can, like, recognize that it's a cha-cha.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool thing.
I also think it's such a fun, like, such a great thing to experience, like, doing something for fun and, like, failing at it. Because then you realize, I mean, this is why I love improv so much, or, like, why I started to, you realize that it's, like, not a big deal and you can just keep trying and get better. And that failure is, like, I don't know, there's such a negative connotation with failure when really it's actually you just learning. You have to fail to learn stuff. Like, we have a weird, perception that we're all supposed to try something and be great at it. Which I think is what you were talking about. Like, as there's, like, I forget what the fact is, but adults are so afraid to try new things or learn new skills because they are not, like, when you're a kid, you try shit and fail all the time and it's whatever. And then something gets, like, embedded in us that you can't fail. And so because of that, people aren't trying new things. Totally. Like, so few adults will learn how to play a new instrument because they get so frustrated with not being able to be great at it right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A friend of ours, Steve Bechtel,
who
is a great teacher, educator, coach, talks about if we all tried at the things in our lives as hard as we tried at learning how to walk, we would be amazing at stuff.
Oh, I love that.
Many other things. But, like, when we learned how to walk, no one in our lives told us it would be okay to not learn how to walk.
Yeah.
Everybody in our lives was like, yeah, we're doing it. Go.
Yeah.
You know, and you just figured it out and you hit your head on the wall and, like, fell over and all this stuff. And it was really super physically painful and probably exhausting.
Yeah.
And we all learned it. But we've never tried that hard at anything else ever again.
Yeah.
I did not try that hard at the cha-cha. It was not like learning to walk kind of situation, but I did learn how to cha-cha.
But still the idea of, like, trying something that's fun, that I feel like, I don't know, it's like Leanne Rimes says, like, if you get the chance to sit it out or dance,
Dan.
I hope you dance.
Wait, I think that's Leanne Womack.
Leanne Womack?
I don't know.
It's like that girl country singer says. But I like that story too, because it also talks about what we were talking about in the beginning of like just making your brain think in a different, like you talked about how you're an athlete and you use your body a certain way, all of a sudden using it in a completely different way.
Yeah. You're doing like calculus with your body before.
Yeah.
Like the sidewalk chalk.
Yes.
Totally.
Abilities.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. Learning how to dance is not easy.
Now when people ask you how you're feeling, I hope you express it through dance.
Just cha-cha. only cha-cha.
Name all the different things that you learned. You named them all off to me the other day, and it was so great.
So I am cha-cha, samba, foxtrot, the waltz, Viennese waltz.
Whoa.
Everyone. The tango, the jive.
The jive.
And the Paso Doble. And there's another one, but.
That's so many.
I know.
That's so great.
And the swing.
Swing dancing is so fun.
Yeah, it's different than that, turns out. Two different things. Because that swing, not what we were doing.
Yeah.
Swing like in Wyoming, very different than swing.
Real
like,
swing.
Show up with when you're like getting judged.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they have these like competitions. Ballroom dancing is like wild. It's a whole different thing. You should go.
Yeah.
Very serious.
I should go. I even know a guy who teaches swing and ballroom and cha-cha and stuff. I should just go down there. He lives down by the beach, of course. It's where all the best people live.
Maybe we need to all go to the beach and learn how to cha-cha.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
I love your stories, and I love you as people, and I love your thoughts on everything. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to sum up from this episode.
Wait, Willie, what decisions are you going to make now?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
I'm going to still thinking about what I'm going to do with like the next chapter of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't decided, but coming at it from a different direction.
Yeah,
it's on the list.
More school is on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to fly helicopters is on the list.
Yeah.
So cool.
We'll see about that.
You can tell which direction in Maine I want you to go in.
Yeah.
School, neat. Helicopters. Yeah.
What else?
Food.
Willie's a really great chef.
Willie is an amazing chef.
Food will always be a part of my life, as with anybody. I'll have to eat, but it might become a bigger part.
Mm-hmm. I think trying to decide what you want to do in life is also such a crazy thing. Such a crazy question that people ask. Like, what do you do?
I don't freaking know.
I hate that question.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking life, bro. I do life.
Yeah, just ask it back to them.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Hey, this relates back to what we were talking about the being afraid to fail. I feel like it's so important to remember that you can start something and like then decide that you don't like it and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
You know?
No. Nope.
Excellent Freakonomics episode about how quitting can be like a great thing.
Yeah. It's so scary. I feel like quitting is really scary. It's something I'm always really scared of doing. Don't want to be a quitter, but it's actually a good thing to be a quitter sometimes, because otherwise you're being the person who doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And it's better to like go find where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Can be efficient.
Mm-hmm. With being a neo-Nazi.
Yeah, that's so a great thing to quit.
So true.
That's a great thing to quit.
Nice.
Don't quit believing in Santa until you're ready. Willie sat in the back for while I set up this mic stand for 2 hours. That's the other thing everyone should know. Our sound setup is insane. I'll take a picture of it and post it. I duct taped a mic onto a broom, and that's where we're at.
The guy turned the phone.
He made it work. Well, thank you guys.
Thanks, Ian.
Yeah.
I love you. I love you both. Have a great week, everybody, and good news later.
Good news, good news, good news, good news, good news, good news. get some frickin' real good news.
A Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.